ladies, it's Brittany Brazel. The Lord has given me a passion for motherhood and homemaking. From that passion, a ministry has birthed, No Higher Calling. There is no higher calling on my life than to be wife to Simeon and mama to my littles. I still have so much to learn, but as I continue to grow, it is my desire to share the truths God is teaching me. Hey ladies, thanks so much for joining me back on the No Higher Calling podcast. I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front, today's episode is an emotional one. I'm just looking over my notes here and trying to prepare my heart to speak on this, and I already feel like I'm going to cry. But I feel like this is something that the Lord has put on my heart and really something that God has been just doing a work in my life in regards to. And I hope that just what I have to share will really be an encouragement and a help to you. So today's topic is when grief changes everything. I've walked through some dark valleys. You know, Simeon and I have shared some of our story and our testimony and different things throughout the podcast. If you've been following along from beginning to now, you'll get that. But goodness, we're on year four. So there's a lot of people that have just gotten pieces here and there. So I'll link a few episodes down in the comments if you want to get the bigger picture. But I'll just give a quick recap. You know, so life was easy. Life was good. We had never really faced anything too difficult, too really life-shattering, life-altering. Until almost 7 years ago now. It's actually almost the seventh year, 7 years since my brother, Clay, passed away. I'm the oldest of four children. He is 18 months younger than me. For the first half of our life, we were just worst enemies. And then all of a sudden, a light switch flipped, and we were best friends. And he really was my best friend. You know, and when we were little, my mom would always tell us that people would ask if we were twins. We're 18 months apart, and we were pretty much the same size for many years. Definitely changed in the high school years. He grew, you know, leaps and bounds bigger than me. But in a lot of ways, that bond that twins often have, I kind of felt like I had with him. I mean, we were inseparable. You know, there were times where we would rather hang out with each other than our friends, or, well, if we're going to hang out with our friends, like, let's do it in a group. We wanted to be together. When we were in high school, Friday night was movie night. And that was just, I look back on that with such fond memories. You know, it got to where we started arguing about what we were going to watch because he wanted guy movies and I wanted girl movies. So we came up with this idea, well, let's just alternate. We'll go back and forth. This week you pick, next week I pick. And I laugh because I have learned to enjoy a good war story or a superhero movie. And he learned the elements of a just great love story. So anyways, we were just the best of friends. But 7 years ago, he passed away. He had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And one night his heart just stopped. And that changed everything. That changed everything. You know, there's a before the grief, and then there's an after the grief a lot of times in life. And grief really does change a lot. And it was after that that we started walking through some other very difficult things. My relationship with my mom is a very, very, very difficult thing. I'm not going to get into all of that here. Again, I've shared some in previous podcast episodes, so you can go and listen to that. But basically, she's not a part of our life anymore. Unfortunately, just due to a variety of very challenging circumstances. That was grief. Then we had a miscarriage back in 2021. That was grief. And grief really does change everything. Now, before you just think that this episode is just going to be doom and gloom, just wallowing in the grief, it's not. It's not. Let me say that here at the very beginning. The purpose of this episode is to show that there is hope beyond the grief, that there is a God who truly is comfort, who is joy, who is restoration. So this is not a doom and gloom podcast. I want this to be encouraging, but we're going to have to walk through some of the muddy waters to get to the other side here. But Susanna Spurgeon said, "It is a mercy that our lives are not left for us to plan, but that our Father chooses for us. Else might we sometimes turn away from our best blessings and put from us the choicest and loveliest gifts of His providence." Yes, I have walked through different valleys of grief over the past 7 years, but I would not have understood that quote prior to the difficult things that God chose for us to walk through. Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Susanna Spurgeon's son Charles says, "I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me up against the rock of ages." Grief brings you to the end of yourself. And there are so many different ways we might experience grief. It might be the loss of a child, the loss of a sibling, the loss of a parent. It could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of health, finances. I couldn't even try to list them all because I would know I would miss something. We live in a broken world, and sorrow is a part of it. Loss and death and hardship is a part of that, which makes me long for the new heaven and the new earth where God wipes away all of our tears. But right now, this is the earth that we're on. This is the reality, and difficult things happen. But let me just say that, you know, earlier I said that God is comfort. It is a part of who He is. He is peace in the midst of a storm. Last year we walked through Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You know, there was a portion of my life where I knew all of those things, but it was head knowledge. But walking through grief made it heart knowledge. You cannot convince me that God is not comfort, because I have lived days where He is the only source of my comfort. You cannot convince me that God is not joy, because I have lived days where I have had a joy that does not make sense, because there is nothing in which to be joyful over. But it's real. It's real because I've walked through it. Like that verse said in Psalms, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." David said that with such resolve, with such conviction, because he had walked through grief. He walked through hard times where he had put this truth to the test. And every time God comes through faithful, every time God keeps His promises, He never changes. He always has been, always will be faithful, true, just, upholding of His promises. We can rest in that. We can lean into that. But the reality is when you go through a grieving season, when you go through something that shakes you to the core, that changes your world does change. Does that mean that there is no light at the end of the tunnel, that there is no hope? No. All the difficult things that I have been through, God has used in my life to change me, to make me more like Him, to grow me. But there is an afterwards. There is this after the grief that things are different. Things always will be different. I no longer have my brother. We can't have the movie nights. I no longer have, a relationship with my mom due to some of the grief that that brought. I no longer have the baby that I barely had to start with. The future is different. Grief changes everything. But let me just say, for the person who is in the point where all you see is the darkness, all you see is the hopelessness, where you feel like, is there ever going to be a way out? Is there ever going to be a day of sunshine again? Am I ever going to be able to smile again? The answer is yes, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that the after can have joy, can have hope. It's because you've got to find it in the only source that is available to give it to you when you are at such heart-wrenching moments. I know what it's like to live those days where you just wonder, is there any way forward? And if there is, how do I even put my feet on that path? Where is it? I cannot see it. And I think this is where we just have to moment by moment, not even day by day, not hour by hour, but in these times, in these dark periods of grief, this is where it is a moment by moment choice that we have to make to choose truth, to walk in truth, to trust that God has made these promises and He is going to come through on the other side. And I've come to those points where I look back on some of the grief and I still cry. Obviously, I'm crying on this episode. It still breaks my heart. There's still times where I look at my family and wonder what it would look like to have that little baby. Or I pick up my phone to call my brother and I'm like, oh, I can't. And there will always be those whispers of what could have been or memories of the past. I mean, you know, sometimes when you come to grief, you're advised to try to forget, to try to move on, they say. You know, the old saying of pick yourself up by the bootstraps and just keep going forward. And, you know, you do in a way. You do have to keep living. Life can't stop. I lost a baby, but I had other ones that were depending on me. But I also do not think that it is healthy to just package it up in a compartment in your heart and seal it and lock it and not revisit that. For many reasons, I don't think that's good for us. I don't think that's how God designed us to handle those things. I think He wants us to bring those things, bring our hurt, bring our pain to Him. And He is the true balm of Gilead. He is the one that ministers to our hearts and brings those beauty for ashes, brings redemption. He restoreth my soul. He really does. So I think it's okay to acknowledge the reality that grief does change everything. You know, and there was a time where I thought, well, I've got to leave that back there and move forward with what's in front of me. But that did not serve me well. And in accepting the grief and accepting the continual pain that will forever be in my heart with some of those things that were so difficult for me, it keeps me in a place where I do have to keep coming back to my Abba Father saying, this still hurts. It's been years now. If I continue on and God doesn't come back, it may be decades one day. And I can't imagine that the pain will ever go away. Why? Because God has made us in His image. And He's made us to love, and He's made us to connect. And when we love and we lose someone that we love, it hurts. And it's not something that just can magically evaporate with time. God's also given us memories. And as precious as they are, sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes they hurt. But having those keeps me in a state of bringing them back to Him, of entrusting them to the only one who is trustworthy enough to be able to take such delicate and sweet care of my heart. And it also keeps me in a place remembering His faithfulness, testifying of His faithfulness. That's what I'm doing here. Does it hurt to remember some of these things and to talk about them? It does. But in talking about them, I again am encouraged and challenged to give it over to my Savior. And I also am reminded of how He has so faithfully and lovingly held my hand through every step since those life-shattering moments. And I'm also reminded of the transformational work that He has done in my heart through those things. Like Susanna said, you know, if I was to script my life, I would rip all of the ugly, hard, sad, crying parts out. It would just be sunshine and roses. But you know what? I would not be the Brittany that I am today if it wasn't for the dark chapters, because those dark chapters changed me. They shaped me. They molded me. They made me come to know the God of my salvation. In Philippians, it says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the joy of His suffering. It's not just in the joy that we know Him, but there is something through suffering that helps us to know Him in a greater way. In Romans 5, verses 2 through 5, it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Later in Romans, we find the verse, Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And it is true, all things do work together for good, but what is good? In that passage, good is talking about Christ's likeness. It's not talking about ease or lack of difficulty in life. You know, that's our plan. That's my script. That's not God's script. Good is defined as Christ's likeness and having the fruit of the Spirit made alive in me. And let me just be honest with you. The growth in Christ's likeness and the developing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life grew by exponential leaps and bounds through those hard times. It's because in the easy times, we tend to think that we're independent, that we don't need God, or not even that we might think necessarily the thought, "I don't need the Lord, I can take care of myself." But because things are easy, we just roll on with life and forget Him. We forget His goodness. We forget how desperately dependent that we are on Him. Yet these times of grief, again, those waves that throw us against the Rock of Ages, we know we need Him. But that is His best blessings, the choicest and loveliest of the gifts of His providence. They come through the things that are off script, that we don't choose, but that God in His infinite wisdom does. And you know what? I am not God. I do not have the mind of God. God says in Isaiah that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts than our thoughts. And you know what? I will never fully understand the why. That's the question, isn't it? Why? Why? We're never going to fully understand. But you know what? We can rest in Him. We don't have to understand to be able to move forward, to be able to choose hope, to be able to rest in Him, because we can trust that He understands. Our Father understands. You know, I've had my dad on my podcast before, and we've shared our story. And again, I'll link that down in the comments if you want to go catch that episode. But my dad and I have a great relationship now. We are just, he really is. He's one of my best friends. You know, I think of my top three best friends in my life, obviously Simeon, he's number one. But then it would be my dad and it would be my brother Clay. But I'm so thankful for my dad. And you know, if I ever needed anything, he's one of the people, like he's the first person that I would call if Simeon was not with me. You know, when I was going through all of that with Flora's birth, when we were getting in the car to go to the hospital and everything was going haywire, Simeon was with me. He knew what was going on, so he didn't need informed. But who did I want to call? I wanted to call my dad, because I know that he prays for me. I know that he loves me more than anybody else on this earth. Again, other than my husband. And I know that he would do anything he can to choose and help me have the best for me. Well, even more than that is our Heavenly Father. You know, my dad is limited in his knowledge and understanding of what truly is best for me. And you know, I'm a parent. What I think is best for my kids is the same thing I want for myself, is the sunshine and roses. But I've also lived enough now to realize that it's through the hard things that God becomes real. And so I don't want my children to have to go through difficult things, but I hope I'm there to encourage them when they do and to help them see God has a purpose in this. Trust in Him. But you know, as I was saying, with God being our Father, He has perfect wisdom. He has infinite knowledge and understanding. He sees beginning to end. He sees a tapestry of every person's life, of every day, of every moment in this interwoven, interconnected, beautiful masterpiece that He is weaving together. He knows if something enters into your life, it's because He's let it. It's because He has chosen it for you out of a heart of love. And that's difficult for our minds to understand when we would think that our Heavenly Father, out of a heart of love, would choose something difficult for us. But He sees what we can't. He knows what we can't. And while in the moment of some of these grieving times in my life, I questioned why. I asked Him, "Do you love me? And if you do, why is this happening to me?" I look back now and I see, You love me. You loved me so much that You cried with me. You sat up all night with me. You held my hand through it all. You didn't just grieve for the hurt. You grieved for me. You grieved with me. You know, if my child hurts themselves, I grieve for them. I grieve with them. And that's what God does for us. And we can trust that this good that He is bringing about in our lives is to make us more like Him. And there is nothing better. There is no better work that could be accomplished in your life than this transformation to Christ-likeness. This work, this perfecting work that patience and tribulation have in our lives. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth said one time that God uses trouble to change us and reveal Himself to our world as others see His grace in us. I'll touch on that a little bit more at the end about the others see His grace in us. But God does use these hard things to change us and to reveal Himself, to make Himself known. She goes on to say, "We mistakenly look for tokens of God's love and happiness. We should instead look for them in His faithful and persistent work to conform Christ in us." And that's the work that He's doing. He is doing that. Another quote she said, "Do we only give glory to God for the part of our life that's going the way we want? Or do we worship Him, trust Him, and give Him thanks just because He is God, regardless of the dark, painful, incomprehensible places we encounter on our journey?" Worship looks different when you are on your face in a puddle of tears than when it does when you have hands raised to the sky and you're praising in joy. But there is a depth, there is a heart pouring into the worship in the hard times that is just different from the good times. We look at the life of Job. You know, we see Job full of his blessings and he was worshiping. Where do we find Job? Job didn't forget God. Job wasn't just moving on in his own strength. No, Job was worshiping. Job knew where his blessings came from. We can all learn from that lesson. But where do we also find Job when everything fell apart? We find him worshiping, but worshiping from a broken heart, but a heart that was being convinced of God's work in his life. I love Elizabeth Elliot's book, Suffering is Never for Nothing. She said, "It's through the deepest suffering God has taught me the deepest lessons. And if we'll trust Him for it, we'll come through to the unshakable assurance that He's in charge. He has a loving purpose, and He can transform something terrible into something wonderful. Suffering is never for nothing." And that is spoken by a missionary wife whose husband was speared to death by an Indian tribe. If she can say that, then surely we can say that, that we can testify, yes, God doesn't do things for nothing. He doesn't waste a life. He doesn't waste a day. He doesn't waste a trial. He doesn't waste the suffering. There is a purpose for it. We just have to find that purpose. And, you know, I said in the beginning about when grief changes everything, that this wasn't a negative, you know, spiraling episode of just, you know, oh yeah, life is never going to be the same. While we acknowledge that there will be hurt, that life is changed, this is what I'm trying to get at, that suffering is never for nothing. I'm trying to encourage the person who's been in the space where I've been, where you don't know where the way forward is. Suffering is never for nothing. God is doing something in this moment. He's doing something in your life, in the lives of those around you. Trust Him. Find the purpose. Come before Him. Give Him your grief and ask, what is the purpose? How do you want to make me more like you through this? What do you want to teach me? What can I learn about you in a greater way through this path that I could have not in a different path? You know, suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. And, you know, that seems like a simple, trite little definition there, but it is true. You know, having what you don't want, we don't want sickness. We don't want death. We don't want loss. We don't want pain. We don't want hardship. Or maybe suffering is wanting what you don't have. You know, I want my brother back. I want the baby that I lost. Wanting something that, you know, maybe you're wanting a better financial situation. Maybe you're, whatever it is. You know, these are different areas of suffering. But remember, all of it it's never for nothing. Joy is not the absence of suffering. Sometimes we think, oh, if all the bad parts of my life could just be pulled out, then I could have joy. No, joy is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. And do you know what that means? That means that His presence is always available to us. So even in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the deepest, darkest suffering, we can have joy. We can have an unshakable joy that anchors us deep in truth because the presence of God is there. The presence of God is there in the good times just as much as in the bad times. And that is how we find joy. So just a couple thoughts here in this idea of when grief changes everything, how do we handle this? How do we deal with this? I'm just going to recap a few things and then share a few thoughts. First of all, we talked about this. You need to acknowledge it. Burying our grief eats away at our soul. We do need to acknowledge the hurt. We need to go through the grieving process. In Ecclesiastes, it says that there is a time to rejoice, but there is also a time to weep. God understands. God made us. He gave us the emotions. He gave us the soul. He gave us the feelings. It is okay to give yourself the permission to grieve, to cry, to acknowledge all that was lost in the difficulty, in the tribulation that you are walking through, in that suffering. It's okay. And I think it's good. I think it's healthy for us to give ourselves a chance to grieve, to work through that, to acknowledge it. But we have to come to a point where we have to accept it. And I don't say this in a harsh way of, well, you know, that's what God gave you. You just need to say, okay, Lord, and move forward. No, I'm saying that from a heart that has had to accept things that I did not want to. That I, to this day, looking back, I'm like, oh, I didn't want that to be a part of my story. But it is. And as much as I had to acknowledge it, I had to accept it and realize again that it came from my Father. It came through His hands of love. And He knows what He's doing, even if I don't understand. And then I had to offer it back to Him. I had to offer it as a sacrifice. I had to say, God, here's my brokenness. Here is my heart. I am giving it back to You. I am placing it back into Your hands. I'm offering this brokenness to You. And then offer yourself with it. Give yourself to Him and say, look, you literally are going to have to keep me going. I remember there's been different trials that I've been through, that my family have been through, days where we would come to each other for encouragement and literally say, you know, if it was not for God, I would perish. We were just so desperate. But offer it to God. Give your heart, give yourself, and tell the Lord, be real with him. We don't have to have this perfectly curated prayer, especially in these times of grief. If he's your father, talk to him like you would an earthly father. And I hope that you have an earthly father, that you have a good relationship that reflects the relationship that you should have with Christ. I understand not everyone has that. But, you know, just trust him with your heart. Tell him, this is exactly how I feel. These are the questions that I'm struggling with. These are the lies that Satan is trying to put on the throne of my heart over the truth of your word. Help me. Help me keep you and your promises center. Offer it back. Give it to him. Say, I'm trusting you once again with my heart, with my life, with my story, with my situation. Jim Elliott, Elizabeth Elliott's martyr husband, said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Our story is God's story. You know, we think of it, we tend to get so possessive. These are my children. This is my husband. This is my house. This is my life. This is my story. It's all his. And it's only mine in a sense that he has entrusted these things to me, that he has gifted them to me, but they are not mine. They are his. And if he so sees fit to do something with those things other than what I would, so be it. They are his. And I have to trust that. And I have to give myself with that, trusting the heart of our Father. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God doesn't just send these difficult things into our lives and leave us to fend for ourselves. He is with us every moment, walking with us, ready to give us what we need to get through it, not just to survive it, but to get through it with his grace, with that transforming Christ-likeness happening in our lives. I think of the verse of the hymn, Day by Day. It says, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. You know, I wrote the book, Great Hymns for Growing Hearts, which is a hymn study for families. And we dive into this hymn, Day by Day. It was written by Carolina Sandell, and she had a great relationship with her dad. She loved her dad. One day they were a boat going across a lake, and the boat lurched, and her father fell in the water, and she watched him drown. She watched him die. That person who was her person, she loved him so much. They had such a beautiful relationship. She had to watch him drown. I can't imagine, but she goes on to, from that grief, pin these words, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's, capital F, Heavenly Father's, wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. You know, the story of these hymns had such richness and depth. And that's why I wrote the book, because God used those to minister to my soul through a time of grief. But we can trust the heart and the sovereignty of our Father. And then the last thing is to let God make your pain bigger than you. I've shared this on other podcast episodes that I've shared about losing my brother, but I'll never forget at his funeral, my dad gathered our family and we knelt down by his casket and we were praying. And my dad asked God, make this bigger than our pain. Make it bigger than us. May what he was saying is, may the end of all of this not just be pain, but bring something more out of the brokenness that we're feeling. Give it a purpose. And God has done that in my life individually, in my family, and so many others that have been impacted through that plot twist that we did not see, nor did we want. God knew what he was doing, and he truly did give purpose to something that was so painful. He made it bigger. And, you know, when we lost our baby with miscarriage, it's a very private loss and private pain, because often it's so early that you haven't announced a pregnancy. Other people don't even know. Oftentimes you may not know until you find out that yes, you are pregnant, but the baby is gone. So there's always this question of, do we talk about it? Do we not talk about it? And everybody has to come to their own conclusion on that. And I would never tell you that it's right to do one thing or wrong to do another thing. But for Simeon and I, we felt like we wanted to talk about it. We wanted people to know about our baby. We wanted our children to know about our baby. And the purpose of that was, we felt like in sharing that dark part of our story, that God could have more opportunity to give a greater purpose to that life. That baby will never have a voice to speak for itself, to share its own story, a life to live and walk out the story God has for it. So in a way, we felt like we were that voice and we were that life that was impacted just for, you know, weeks with this little baby. But we are trying to use that dark part, that dark chapter, that difficult thing to encourage other people who are going through the same thing. And every time that I get to minister to the heart of a mama who has lost a baby, I smile through the tears, because had I not lost my own, I would not be able to minister in the same way. And again, you know, we don't have all the sovereign understanding. If I could go back and choose the path, I'd always choose life, of course. But that's not what God chose. And in accepting that and acknowledging that and offering it back to him, I've been able to find a greater purpose in that. And I've been able to see that God does all things for good, that suffering is never for nothing, that we can trust him, that he brings beauty from ashes. So this is just some thoughts that God has had on my heart, really, as we're coming up on the seventh year of my brother passing, and just different things, reflecting on things in my own heart and life. But grief is a part of all of our lives. I'm sure everybody listening can have something they can pinpoint in their story that was hard. I hope that you can look back and say, God used it to change me, to make me more like him. But I just pray that this episode was an encouragement. I've often heard, you know, if you're not in a hard time, then you're either coming off of a hard time or you're about to go into a hard time. So I hope this encourages you. Grief changes things. Grief changes everything. But it doesn't have to be for the negative. It doesn't have to be an end of everything. It doesn't have to be the end of all hopes and dreams. But again, the only way that it's not is through Christ. Lean on him, trust in him, and allow some of that change that is brought about by the grief to be good change, to be a work in your heart that is making you more like Christ, that is spilling over into the lives of others, that is testifying that God is good in the good times and in the bad times. And that's one last thing I'll share here. Something that I realized by being so flat on my face with my pain and my grief was that anybody can testify of blessings and joy in the good times, but it is the believer that can testify of joy and good in the hard times. It is only the believer, because the lost person has no hope. They have no joy. They have nothing to cling to, but we do. We do, ladies, and cling to it. Anchor your heart in it and let those times be a beacon of light to a dark world, that God is real. He's real because I am living his reality in my life, and nothing you say, nothing you can do can shake that from me, because I have experienced it. I know it to be true. His word is true. His promises are true. And we can trust him. We can rest in his loving hands, and we can worship. We can worship whether our hands are raised high or they are covering our sobbing face. We can worship, and he is worthy of it all the time because God is always only good. I hope that the No Higher Calling podcast has been a blessing to you. If so, please subscribe, share with your friends, and engage with me on Instagram at nohighercalling_. You can also subscribe to receive the No Higher Calling encouragement email on my website, which is www.nohighercalling.org. This includes podcast notes, what I'm reading, spiritual encouragement, a glimpse into my home, and some of my favorite products and resources. You can also enjoy more content on the No Higher Calling YouTube channel. I pray that this podcast will encourage you to fall more in love with Jesus and to be the Christian woman He's called you to be. Thanks for listening.